You know, and particularly at Christmas, on Christmas Day, all those gifts under the tree. And usually it's children, they get so excited thinking, what am I going to get? And what's in that box? And what's in that, you know, that parcel? And opening it up to see what someone has given them. One of the questions that comes to mind is, you know, how much longer after Christmas Day do those presents get used? Those toys or games or other things. You know, a year from now, how many of those gifts are still actually being used by the people who receive them? Or are they collecting dust somewhere? The fact is, God has given all of us a whole host of gifts. And sometimes we wonder, how do we use those gifts? And do we use them the way God meant for us when he gave them to us in the first place? Now, what kind of gifts am I talking about? Well, there's quite a lot of gifts that sometimes we don't realize are gifts that God has given us right from birth. Gifts that we didn't work for them, we didn't pay for them, we didn't earn them, but God gave them to us. Things like natural gifts and abilities. We all have natural gifts and abilities when we were born. They might be artistic. They might be academic, athletic. They might be good leadership skills, problem-solving skills. We good people, persons. We all have things that we realize we have an affinity for, a gift to do in various ways that we were born with, something we like to do that we're good at. God gave those to us right from birth. Everybody has them in the world. Every human being has those kinds. Life experience. That's another gift. God puts us through a journey of life experience that is unique like a fingerprint. Nobody has the two same life experiences. Not brothers and sisters. My brothers and I have, even though we grew up in the same home, do not have the exact same kinds of life experience. Good things, bad things, challenges, joys, all those aspects of what happens in our lives is a gift and ability that God can use to touch other people and to make a difference in people's lives. Our education. We all have an education, whether it's public school education, college, university, technical college, apprenticeships, learning on the job, going to a job and learning skills and abilities we didn't have before. All those things God can use. Those are gifts and abilities that God has put into our lives. And of course, he's given us a mind. We have a mind to be able to think through things. That what puts us above all other creation. We are a masterpiece because we have the ability to think and create and problem solve and do all kinds of things that no other created creation on earth can do. We are, because God gave us that kind of a mind. And so again, that's another gifting that God has given us. And sometimes we don't think of it as a gift, but it is. And then once we become a follower of Christ, once we become one of his, he gives us additional gifts. One of those is the Word of God. That's a gift. The written Word of God that we can use to do what God has called us to do. To learn from him. Learn about him. Learn about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What it means to do what God has asked us to do. Finding answers to questions or concerns or worries. Answers that might be theological or in other aspects. The Bible has an answer for everything, whether it's directly given or indirectly given. God has given us God's word, his word. He's also given us himself. God says, look, I want you to go and do this, but you're not going to do it alone. I'm going to be with you. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give to those who ask without finding fault, and he will give generously. God is there to give you what you need to do what he asks. So he doesn't just say, send you off and say, good luck. He says, I'm going with you. I'll be behind you. It's like a story that our pastor has told us a few times about a young fellow who had an accident. And from that accident, he became blind. And he became very bitter. And he would never leave his room. He was angry with everything because he had lost his sight. And it was going on for month after month after month. And finally, his father kind of had enough. And finally, one day, he said, I'm off to work. I want you to go out, and I want you to put the storm windows on the house because winter's coming. What do you mean? I can't see. How can I put storm windows on a house? I can't see a thing. He says, you know how to do it. You know where they are. Mom will take you to where the storm windows are stored. And when I get home from work, when I get back, I want to have those storm windows on the house, and I want you to put them on. So his dad left. So his son, he was just fuming, angry. So he said, okay, I'm going to go do it, and I'm just, whatever happens, happens. If I break windows, I don't care. So he went, and his mom took him over to the storage area where the storm windows were, and she helped put them out, and then he was to go up the ladder and down the ladder and put in these storm windows. Now, he had done the storm windows before, so it was just a matter of going up there even without sight to do what needed to be done. When he was finally all good and done after a few hours, he found out later that during the whole process, his dad was standing there watching him. He didn't say a word. He just watched his son go and do the job, but he was there in case his son, for instance, slipped and was falling off the ladder. He would have been there to catch him. He would have been there to give him help, but he didn't intervene until at the end when he was all done. And his son had no idea that and that's what God is like. God says, I want you to go and do this. You might think you're not capable. You might think you don't have what it takes, but I've asked you to go do it, but I'm standing right behind you, and I will give you what you need when you need it. So remember, God is always with us in the things that God wants us to do and how he wants us to live our life. God has given us spiritual gifts. The Bible says that when we become a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit bestows on us at least one spiritual gift. And we look in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and there's different lists of what types of spiritual gifts they are. We all have them. And nobody who's a follower of Christ can say, well, I don't have a spiritual gift. Now, maybe you don't know what it is. Well, maybe you need to study and find out what spiritual gift you are. Ask people around you, what do you think I have as a spiritual gift? Because sometimes people on the outside looking at you and watching you can kind of determine what kind of giftings you do have. So it's important to understand that's another wonderful gift or gifts. Some people have more than one spiritual gift that God has given them in different strengths. Some have spiritual gifts that may be stronger than others. But it doesn't mean those the less stronger spiritual gift cannot be useful. Everything God has given each of us is for a purpose. And God has given us the church. We are here together. We worship together. We fellowship together. We do things together. We meet people's needs. We encourage each other. We challenge each other. That's why God said, do not forget the assembling of yourselves together, because he knew that we were designed to be part of a group. We're not designed to be alone. Now, sure, there's times when we are alone, but we're not to stay alone. We are to be part of the body of Christ. And we look in the book of Acts, in the first church, they fellowshiped together regularly. People sold property and gave money as a group to the church to meet the needs of those within the church to make sure everyone was taken care of and helping each other to do what God had called them to do. So there's another gift, is the body of Christ. Each one in the church, they're a gift to you. So you invest yourself in their life and they invest themselves in your life and you become a better person. I was sharing this earlier, but it's like a fire. And in that fire, you have all these logs, that wood that you've put in there. And everything's burning and blazing nice and warm and hot. Now all the wood is burning well together. If you took one of those pieces of wood and you removed it from the fire and put it off by itself, what's going to happen to that piece of wood? It's going to go out. If you watch it, it'll slowly burn out and just sit there cold. And how to reignite it? You need to put it back into the fire. And all of a sudden it blazes up and burns just like all the others. That to me is a picture of the body of Christ. We cannot stay separate from each other. We need to be together. And that's why it's so important to come to church, not just to come for the sake of doing it or just to be with people, but that we can worship and fellowship and encourage and support each other in our needs as well as in our joys. It's wonderful. When something wonderful happens, you want to tell somebody. Well, tell the church, and they will rejoice with you as well. And as we've heard, when we have tragedy in our homes and in our lives, people are there to support us. So all of these gifts that I've shared about are gifts that God has given to us for a long time. Do we use them? Or have we kind of set them aside? Are they collecting dust and we don't use them the way we should? We're not maybe going to church every Sunday, or we're not using our gifts and abilities for helping others, for doing what God puts on your heart to do. What God wants you to do will be different than what God wants me to do. One of those, of course, is the gospel. We need to share the gospel wherever we go and whatever we do. For people within action, we're doing it in other countries. For you, you're doing it right here at home, in White Court, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, at your school. Wherever you are to be a shining light and take what God has given you to influence other people. That's what one of the major reasons why God has given you all these wonderful gifts is, to touch people's lives and bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone here who has not accepted that gift of salvation, I mean, Christmas is all about the beginning of the process to bring salvation to the world through Jesus. Once you've accepted that, if you have not accepted Christ, I challenge you to really consider over this Christmas time the need to give your life to Jesus Christ so that he can forgive your sins and bring you back into relationship with the Father, to have that fellowship with God that no other religious faith can offer you. No other set of either religious and even non-religious beliefs can give you what God can give you, is a personal relationship. The one who created the universe, who created you, because he wants to have fellowship with you. But he can only do that if you're willing to accept in faith what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Once you have done that, you are promised to have God with you all the time, 24/7. And he will then be able to work in your life and to use you to touch other people. So this Christmas, while you're thinking of, you know, all the different aspects of Christmas and the joys and the wonders of Jesus' birth, also be thankful for all the gifts that God has already given you, and that those gifts continue to keep on giving, both in your life and hopefully in the lives of others. So it's that idea of gratefulness and thankfulness, not of just what you're going to get at Christmas, but what you've already been given. You know, it's kind of like a second round of Thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving, you know, every year, and that's good. But I think at Christmas we need to be thankful too. We are thankful for the birth of Christ and what we knew that culminated to become in the crucifixion and the resurrection down the road. But why not thank God for what he has given you? And one thing I might challenge you is to sit down when you have an opportunity, get a piece of paper, and start to write down all of those specific gifts that you have, that God has given you. Your natural gifts and abilities, what are they? Your education, what kind of education do you have? What kind of life experience do you have? What spiritual gift or giftings do you have? And be able to visually look at that piece of paper and see all that God has given you. to give thanks to him and then ask him to use you to use those giftings and those abilities to make a difference in people's lives here at Hilltop, here in White Court, or wherever God takes you, even overseas. And that's one thing I would encourage you to consider too, maybe not now, but maybe in the future, is to consider a short-term trip overseas. I notice at the back you have different missionaries that you support. Some of them live overseas. Why not go and visit them? See in person what they do. And that will really connect you more strongly, more deeply with the person or the family or the ministry that you support. And I encourage people to do that. And I don't live overseas. I travel overseas from time to time. But I've had people come and visit me where I work in Calgary, in my ministry. And it's nice when people drop in and say, we're in the area. We wanted to see, you know, we wanted to see your office. We want to see where you work. And that encourages me. And if you go visit those missionaries that you know, whether they church supported or missionaries or people you know overseas as friends or people you grew up with, go and visit them if you haven't. Spend a few weeks or a few months if you have the time to do that. Spend time working with them, seeing their ministry, meeting the people that they know. It's an amazing experience. And even if you only go for a few weeks, I can guarantee that you will not come back the same person that you left as. And I've had that so many short-termers, when they come back, I try to do a little debrief with them. And I will ask them, you know, what did you learn? What really affected you? And did you see a difference in yourself when you came back? And I remember one young lady, she'd been in Uganda for 6 months in an internship. And she says, when I came back, I did not realize how much I was wasting my life. You know, the things I used to do, you know, go shopping all the time or spend, you know, guys would talk about spending, playing games and having parties. She said, we would do all those nice things. You know, I still went to church and I was doing this and that. But, you know, I realized I was spending a lot of mine doing things that really didn't matter. And I needed to be more focused on looking at people around me and seeing where I could work in their, be an influence in their lives. My friends, people at church. And she said it did change me. I didn't even realize it till I got home that I looked at things differently. And it's an aspect of doing ministry. When you touch people's lives, work with the homeless or other people in need, whoever it might be, you learn things about them and you think, wow, I never realized that. And it can help you have a different perspective on life. When you go to another country, you learn a different perspective on how they think about God, how they worship God, how they live their lives in areas. For instance, when I was in Pakistan, you know, you just can't go out and about sharing the gospel out in public. It's a Muslim country. It's not allowed. But there's ways to be creative. For instance, when we were there, the churches, we were in Karachi most of the time, down near the coast in the Arabian Sea. And the churches in the area heard that our group was coming. There was 9 of us from Canada, the United States, and the Philippines. And they said, it's not fair to our hosts. It's not fair that only you get to see them. We want our people to meet them too. So, okay, we'll have a rally. Well, we went to this rally, and we had a security escort. The government required that foreigners be protected, and so our host hired, there's a fella that he grew up with who is a Muslim. We had a security firm and an automobile dealership. It's interesting, those two going together, but anyway. So he asked his friend if he could supply vehicles and a security team for us. So it was interesting, you're traveling down the road, and we had 2 Toyota half-ton trucks, one in the front of our group and one in the back, with 3 armed guards with, you know, AK-47s in the back, and they had lights on, and every time, and they do roundabouts. They have roundabouts, you know what roundabouts are. And so we'd come to a roundabout, and the first vehicle would go, and he'd stop all the traffic. We'd drive through, and then we'd carry on, and all these people are looking like, who are these important people? And Well, we got to the rally. There were 2,400 people at this rally in the middle of downtown Karachi. And I'm scratching my head. How can you have an evangelistic meeting with 2,400 Christians in downtown Karachi? It's a Muslim country. Oh, I said, oh, that's easy. We just tell the authorities we're inviting all the churches to come to the rally, the Christians. And to the Muslim, oh, that's fine, because they're only having Christians come. So Christians having a meeting with other Christians is okay. If you'd said we're going to invite some Muslims, that would have been a different story. Thing is, all the churches around invited their Muslim friends. So now we have 2,400 people in this, and they had this huge stage. They had a big, huge monitor. They had towers of speakers. I mean, it was loud. I mean, I think the whole half the cities of Karachi could have heard what we were, what they were sharing. And the gospel was presented. They had an altar call, and a few hundred people came forward to accept Christ through that rally. So here we had our hosts, Pakistani families, who, with their gifts and abilities, their understanding of their culture and the way things are done, were able to organize this evangelistic rally in the middle of Karachi to share the gospel with the Muslim community and those who were nominal Christians who went to church but hadn't given their lives to Christ yet. So this is here, taking what you know, what you have, and finding ways to invest in people's lives. That's what God wants us each to do. Small ways, praying. Oh, prayer is another gift that we're given, which I didn't talk about. God has given us the gift to pray directly to Him about anything. That's a wonderful gift. And we know that God will hear us and God will answer us in His way and in His time. So here we have all these things. So hopefully, over these coming weeks during Christmas and throughout the rest of the year, that you will be thankful for all the gifts that God has given you and then find ways to use those gifts to influence others and to help you and others grow in your walk with the Lord. If you want to know more about action, come to my booth at the back and I can give you some material. If you're looking for an opportunity to serve overseas, whether it's a few weeks or whatever it might be, I can share about different opportunities that are available where you can use your gifts and your abilities and your desire to serve the Lord in an overseas setting. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to share what I've shared this morning. Just so thankful that you have loved us so much that you have given us all these wonderful gifts and abilities, and we never even asked for them. You gave them to us because you loved us and you wanted us to have these to instill in our lives and affect our lives, but also through us to affect the lives of others. May we be truly thankful each and every day for what we have, what you've given us, and then find ways with your help behind us to use it for your honor and for your glory, and bring people to a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and God bless. And I look forward to the potluck after.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for sharing. That's just great to hear, and what an encouragement. And so what I want to do now is just take some time. I want to pray for Scott and just into the things that he was sharing. And as I conclude praying, I'm going to invite the ushers to come up one more time, and here's where we'll receive this love offering that is going to go for Scott and his ministry. And so this is just a way in which we as a church can just can support his ministry and the things that he's doing. So we don't, like officially as a church, we don't support Scott in that regard. But whenever he's here, we try to do this in way of just supporting him and expressing our love and appreciation for Scott and just that we value the things that you are doing. And so I just want to lead us in prayer.